Ready. Here we go. Ready. 3, 2, 1. I'm kidding. We've been going for like 4 minutes.
Oh, I was like psyching myself up in my head. Like, you know, yeah. Those news anchors that are like just kind of talking off screen casually. And it's like, yeah, I got this.
Well, it's funny because they're always muted and they're always just talking. I always wonder what they're saying, like in between takes or when they're off screen or when the camera's starting to pan out from something they just said. You wonder if they're like an anchor man where they're like basically like calling each other names. I wonder if they actually do that.
It's like, John, here's the thing, man. I go to that place every weekend, the country club, we golf, we have fun time. And usually because we're sweating, we go out, we come back in, we take showers. Explain to me how you get jock itch from just taking a shower, put your clothes back on. Like, what is it in this place? Like in the water, why am I getting jock itch from taking a shower after playing golf?
Yeah, that's funny. Speaking of jock itch and showering, it's a loose connection I'm about to make. A guy that I play hockey with, who remained nameless, but it's a funny story. It was two weekends ago, championship weekend, playoff weekend, as our semifinal game is right before the game. And X person comes up to me, literally like, skates up to me, like slides up next to me, looks at me, and literally turns his head and goes, "Hey, man, it's going to be a good day." And I was like, "Why?" He's like, "I'm good to go. I just Vaseline my asshole." He literally goes, "No chafing." And I was like, "Wait a second. If you don't Vaseline your asshole, you chafe?" He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "But I'm feeling good today." Yeah. I was like, "What?" So then I forced him to explain it to me, and it's become this ongoing joke. And he's basically like, he kept going like, "You know how sometimes you just keep wiping and it doesn't come clean?" I'm like, "No, I don't know that. I don't know that feeling because I don't know. I have a pretty regular system that I just don't have to worry about that." Mm-hmm. He goes, "What's the thing?" And he goes, "The problem is that you can start chafing." I was like, "This is a real problem?" And he goes, "Yeah." He's like, "You can chafe really bad." He goes, "So what I do is I just put a little Vaseline on my finger and I just rub it around the rim of my asshole." I was like, "Huh.
Yeah."
Yeah, he played pretty well that game. Yeah. Played pretty well. He wasn't lying.
The trick is to really apply it. So the next time you go, all you're wiping off is poo and a little bit more of the Vaseline.
That's what he said. He goes, and from then on, you got clean shits.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Dude, I've never fingered my asshole with Vaseline ever." Well, I've never had to. Like, I don't, that's not a condition I suffer from.
Well, you don't go in, but it's like kind of like the black hole, so you're just on the event horizon.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just around the perimeter.
Yeah, you go too far, it sucks your arm in.
You go too far,
yeah,
you get spaghetti-fied, and it sucks you in, and you're dead.
Yeah. Guy, could you imagine if your asshole was a black hole, and then if you just stuck your finger in too far, it just sucked your whole body through your asshole?
That'd be wild. It kind of makes sense why...
Think that's possible?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Dude, I work with a guy now. I think he's on our marketing team. Looks just like Neil deGrasse Tyson. It's fucking wild. He looks just like him. I saw him at our event 2 weeks ago, and I was like, "Oh my god!"
You should just start giving him clues, but just like asking him about black holes and be like, "Why are you asking me about black holes?"
I can't be the first person that's ever said that to him. He looks just like him. Though. It's crazy. Same build. Same haircut, like, I mean, same face. It's striking.
It's like, what's his name?
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
No,
I don't know. I don't know his name.
Oh,
he's new. Like, he's new to the company. I think he works in marketing.
Hey, John, do you think like time travel is possible?
How do you explain wormholes?
I watched this one science show. I need you to tell me if it's truthful or not. Like, I was watching a science show, and they say you can bend gravity. And
just go, what is Orion's belt, really? Yeah. Dude, it is. Yeah. I'll show you a picture of him later. And I literally think you'd be like, "Oh, my God." There's a picture of him from the event. And it's crazy. It looks just like him.
It's like, why do you, you know, I saw you recently. You'd be like, "What are you talking about? I saw you recently." Like, I don't understand. Like, you're super smart. And he's just sitting there clueless. "You're super smart, but there is no reason to talk over Joe Rogan." And you'd be like, "What the fuck is happening?"
Like, "I've never talked to Joe Rogan." "Oh, why wouldn't you?" Huh. Well, see you later. So just to address something real quick, because I've had some messages over the past few weeks or if people are like, hey, where's the podcast this week? And just in case, you know, some people don't hear it, or I put out, you know, messages about in response to messages. We have just recently cut down the podcast almost every other week, and it's just because I'm so like, I'm just not here. Like, next week I'm not here.
Yeah, and I find myself starting to act a little bit like Garth from Wayne's World when they try to make him do the show by himself and he doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
That's kind of me.
Yeah. Like, hey, everybody.
Super uncomfortable, like moving in my seat, don't know what to say.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've just been, work's insane. I've just been gone. So it's impossible to do on a weekly basis right now. It's literally, I'm just not here. So it's going to be sporadic probably for a little while, with the intensity of work has ramped up quite significantly. So for people who miss it, the good news is you can wait a while, make you miss it even more. And then when it comes back, you'll have this beautiful new episode that you can look forward to.
You don't want
to
be too easy. Right.
No, you want to give them. You want to give them a little bit of the feeling.
Yeah. You want them to start to feel the anxiety of like, maybe they don't like me anymore,
right?
And so you're like, so then they chase
almost
you.
Like where they go, what happened? And then bam, we hit you.
Then they start chasing you, and then when you give them a little attention, then they're super fucking happy.
Yeah, exactly. Just give them enough. Just give enough. Keep feeding them.
Just enough.
Like it's just like a little automatic bird feeder.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Just gives you a pebble every once in a while.
Well, you know, you starve your dog, you know, for a week, dog's super hungry, right?
Yeah.
And then you give him one slice of ham. Never seen a dog happier. But the thing is you could be feeding them all week. Dog food.
Yeah.
Nutrition. But he's happy with that one slice of ham.
Yeah.
And you save money and time.
You know, I saw, speaking of dogs, I saw, I don't even know where the science comes from or how they surveyed this. But it was making the correlation between dog people and cat people. And dog people are naturally more happy, positive people. Cat people are naturally more negative and reserved people.
I believe that.
Which I guess, there's obviously an element of psychology that goes around with that. And, you know, I've had this debate with people before. And I'm not a small cat fan. I'm a big cat fan. Big cats on my arm. I have two big cats. Love big cats.
You mean not figuratively big. You like like physically big cats.
Yeah, I like physically big cats. You know, snow leopards are my favorite.
Cheetahs. I like
my favorite animal. Cheetahs are great. Like big cats. The difference is, and I got into this, I wouldn't even call it an argument, because it wasn't even really an argument. It was just a conversation I was having with someone a few weeks back. You're talking about like the difference between having like a gaggle of cats or having a bunch of dogs, right? We have four dogs and, you know, I love them to death. They're my animals. And I always found it weird. It's like people with like four cats, I'm like, what do you fucking do with them? Mm. And the difference is, and there's two differences. One, technically, per science, there's only a few domesticated animals in the entire world. Dogs is one of them. And then you have cows.
Cats are not.
Cows are never going to be domesticated, like according to science. According to people who are smarter than I am, you cannot truly domesticate a cat. It always has that wild instinctual nature to it, right? Another difference, and it's correlated to that, is I was like, and I asked some of this person, I was like, both of us die. You die in your home with your four cats. Mm-hmm. I die in home with my four dogs. Who's getting eaten first? And she looked at me and she was like, fuck, I'm getting eaten, aren't I? I was like, those cats, as soon as they figure out your body's dead, you're fucking toast.
You cannot.
They will pick apart your goddamn body. My dogs are going to be sad and upset and crying and whining, going, what the fuck happened to Dad?
May even die next to you.
Probably will literally die next to me. Just be fucking all of us just passed out. They'll be on heroin overdoses, little doggy heroin overdoses. Yeah. And your cats are going to be clawing your fucking eyes out of your skull to get some food.
A vicious pussy posse.
The giant vicious... fucking vicious pussy gang.
Pussy posse.
Just eating the scraps of your
the
human
remains.
The
personality thing makes a lot of sense because, like, if you're an introverted person who doesn't like a lot of interaction and touchy,
cats are your thing.
Cats are your thing. You don't want dog touching you all fucking day, asking for attention all day.
Yeah, it does make
sense. When you're an introvert like that.
There is that connection of psychology to it, I think. And just even at an elementary level, I understand.
Yeah.
You know, me being like a dog, like, you've seen me with my dogs. Like, it's my dogs are my life.
What?
But like, dude, cat, like, think about Dad.
Yeah.
He's a cat he like barely interacts with.
He doesn't, yeah.
And he's like, I love that damn cat. I'm like, you don't, how can you love a cat you never see?
Yeah.
That's like, which is probably, I would say, if you're married for a long time, it's probably a want or a wish, where it's like, how can you possibly love your wife and you only see her twice a year and be like, well, that's true love.
Let's explore this a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like, what would be the correlation for someone like, we'll use me as an example and then we'll go to some other animals.
Mm-hmm.
I have 3 toads currently. What does that say about me? That I'm dumb? Because they are pretty dumb animals. You can't lick them because you'll have psychedelic effects.
I don't think that's with all frogs.
Well, toads.
Oh, toads.
Yeah,
toads. Any toad?
Yeah. Well, most, I think. Well, they have... It's basically like a
poison. So why wouldn't we do it? Let's lick a toad. Why would we not lick a toad?
I got 3.
You want to try? I'll try it.
I'll try. I got a big one called Urtha. And then we got another one called Goblin, who's a little green one.
Dude, did you hear about the theory around the Salem witch trials?
No.
About how it was like essentially all these women and men died through the Salem witch trials because of mushrooms.
Oh, I believe
so. Think about it. You have cows, you have farmland. Cows, like literally through their fecal matter, can grow and ferment poisonous mushrooms, sure, aka psychedelic mushrooms. And people are grazing, eating these mushrooms and like fucking going through these seizures and these weird trips and saying weird things.
Meet Satan.
And meeting Satan.
Yeah.
Doing odd, strange things, strange behavior. And all of them were fucking like put to death just and
drugged
executed.
Out. That's all they
and
were.
And all they were.
They
is
were
just
druggies.
They're just eating mushrooms.
They were just druggies. And then we killed them.
You fucking killed them.
Could you imagine now
you're
druggies out there who are like, wait, I'll just
dude,
had
there's
mushrooms.
A guy that apparently wrote a book about like how religion became to be. It was all because of like psychedelic mushrooms.
I believe it.
And it's a long ass book that makes us like,
how
what's sequential correlation to
how
it.
Else are you going
to
make sense of Jesus walking across water?
Yeah. Exactly. You no, literally, like the creation of like who is Jesus? Like,
you know
what does
it
represent?
You know all I imagine in my head?
Oh, yeah.
There's these people sitting around.
What a mind fuck if you're an actual like religious person and then the evidence proves that it was psychedelic mushrooms.
You got 3 people around a fire. You got Jesus. You're all hanging out. All you popping shrooms. A slight rain comes down and creates a puddle on the ground. You see Jesus walk across the puddle.
You're like, what?
That motherfucker just walked across water.
You're like, who is that?
He's fucking God.
Yeah, don't you think it's just like a culmination of stories that somehow feel like they intertwine? So like this person has this story and you're like, dude, you never believe what I saw. And this other person's like, dude, I saw something similar.
Yeah.
They've said that's literally the creation of what an elf is. Is because of hallucinogenic trips.
I believe it.
Because people see things like gnomes or elves.
Holland? What is it? Holland that believes in like these elves that live on the coast?
Yeah. That's like a big thing over there.
It's like a holiday. It's like a it's like a deity to the land.
Yeah. And probably just.
And there's
just
little houses.
They're probably just tripping balls.
They just built these houses into the hill and like, that's where they live. We've never seen them, but they live there.
This is all bro science, by the way.
Yeah, like, I'm not. I believe in it.
I think, dude, if you listen to the connection of certain things, you're like, that kind of makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Like, as everybody always says, like, okay, we understand religion. We understand, but like the disbelief in religion all goes back to how was this thing created?
Right.
Right. It's like, how did it start?
Yeah.
And no one has ever made really, it's like, you know how some people are just like, you just have to believe. Fuck that. I'm not that person.
Yeah.
There's too many logical thinkers in the world for you to convince most of the population who thinks logically and thinks rationally. You just have to believe. It doesn't work that way. We need proof. We need evidence. We need something that substantiates how things started. And this is the only thing that kind of makes sense.
Like, I think I can rationalize like how we began to believe that werewolves exist because there's legitimately people.
Dude, how do you turn this into werewolves?
There's legitimately people that we know have a condition that they grow extra hair on their body, right?
And their foreheads.
And they're very furry, right?
Yeah.
And all it is they just like grow more hair. It's a genetic thing. It doesn't make them a wolf, right? But I could just imagine someone seeing someone like this. Person walking down the street accidentally kicks a rock, goes, oh! And like, and they got this hairy person that does this pain-curdling like cry for help and pain. And they're like, that's a fucking werewolf. That's a wolf man.
That's a Wolfman. The depictions, the original Wolfman does look like those people that have that hair disorder.
I'm telling you.
It is kind of strange. It's a striking resemblance.
All it was a person with a condition that they're extra hairy, might have stubbed their toe.
Yeah, but what is the percentage of people in the world who suffer from that condition? Or you don't even say suffer from. It's not really a sufferable condition. It's kind of cool. If you think about it, it's probably an advantage.
Very little. That's enough to create the myth that werewolves exist because genetically speaking, there ain't that many of them. So if you see one of those people walking in the world.
Yeah, it's kind of like Bigfoot.
Right.
Right.
Like who's Bigfoot? Like I'm starting to think it's a human.
Maybe Bigfoot was just a really large person who had the follicle disorder.
Right.
Just fucking walking through, just traipsing through the woods one day and everyone's like, what the fuck did you say? And he's just like, just a guy like chewing an apple. It's just fucking real hairy.
Exactly.
Just walking a path.
That's all it was.
Yeah, that'd be interesting, huh? How does that explain some of the other creatures, like a minotaur?
Like a minotaur?
I think I know the minotaur, where that got started.
I personally, imagine this. It's all an optical illusion.
I agree. You have a deer or an elk.
You got a guy rubbing the back of his small horse, but he's up towards the front, and the horse's head is down.
Yeah.
And he's just standing up.
Yeah.
It's like, and it looks like a half man, half horse.
Some idiot was like, oh my God, that guy's got four legs.
Yeah. I think personally.
And they always have a bow and arrow, so it makes sense that guy's also a hunter.
Right, exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And Bigfoot, I think there's some logic to what you're saying. It's just a big dude because, listen, if you're living out in the woods, you got to learn to be a primal hunter. What's better way to blend in with the landscape? So you're just wearing your like homemade ghillie suit from like the 1600s.
Yeah.
And you're just hunting deer.
Is there any part of you that believes Bigfoot and what society has said Bigfoot is? Do you think that's a real thing? Because it's been faked so many times. I think the allure of it or like the mysticism around it is not as fun as it used to be.
Yeah.
And it's because there was so much attention drawn to it. And then you have all these like conditional sightings where people like they'll tell a story, but then when you try to get down to physical evidence, they're like, but it was kind of blurry and it was at night. It's like, why haven't we had a better view of this thing if it exists?
In all physical evidence that has video, it's like, why are you using like a 1999 Nokia phone to take this photo?
Yeah, it's weird how all the dude, what I would love, here's what I would love.
Where's the 4K cameras?
Just as like, an example, what? You know how cool it'd be if you're in the fucking deep in the woods? Let's just say because there's a lot of sightings in like Oregon and Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
Like deep in the mountainous woods. What if the sighting was just like this? Pretend I'm Bigfoot and I'm behind you. Just walk over, girl.
Oh, no shit. Seriously.
And just keep walking. Yeah. Like Bigfoot is a walking, talking behemoth of an animal, but it's super friendly. And it's just like, oh, I haven't seen a human in a while. And it just comes up to you and is like, what's up, man?
I mean, it could literally be just a hermit living out in the wilderness.
I mean, it could, but also it's like, you think about the multiple sightings of this creature it's not just in one. I think the most densely, the most sightings have occurred in the Pacific Northwest, but dude, all around the world, people are like, this thing exists. And it's like, I think personally, our eyes do such a good job of playing tricks on us in certain nighttime elements, especially at like dusk, you know, where there's still a little bit of light filtration to where you can make out some detail, but things are blurry. They're not as they would appear in like normal lighting conditions. And I think it's just people's eyes deceiving them. They're seeing something, they're seeing a bigger shadow of something that's actually a lot smaller, and it may be another human. It could be, you know, something completely, it could be a fucking bear, who knows?
That's true.
I mean, I don't think something like that could exist and us still not be able to really truthfully know what it is after all this time. It just doesn't seem logical and doesn't seem possible.
Statistically speaking, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense, right? And it's just so many people around the world. Yeah. It's like, how do you keep this thing a hit? And the whole idea of like people faking it. Remember the guy like stuffed a supposed Bigfoot into like a cooler? And it's like, we found Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, well, no, it's not Bigfoot at all. It's not even real.
There was people that were doing like cast molds of feet and purposely sticking
in
mud.
Yeah. Like just to create like a significance around like the fact that this thing is a real thing.
What do you think?
Probably not.
You think a chupacabra is just a mangy coyote?
Yeah, probably.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, chupacabras are depicted as being like grimy little dirty fucking...
I bet you it's a mangy coyote.
Part dog, weird creatures. Uh-huh. Yeah. It's probably exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the whole thing is a fucking nightmare. Anyway, we got some cigar news to get into. Not going to spend a ton of time. Wanted to go over Puro Trader update, which is obviously we covered this a few weeks back. Pierre Rogers and I think it was a Dave Levy, Levitt.
Take it or leave it.
Both indicted on counts of fraud during some of the PPP. I would say it was the COVID relief funds that were dispersed to certain businesses who applied for them. So Joshua Leavitt has pled guilty to two different counts and the court has agreed to dismiss the other ones. I don't know what that's in correlation to. We were speculating earlier that he's going to turn on his friend.
That's
I go, it's all that guy. I have all the evidence.
100% it is.
And so if you look it on here, it says Leavitt's plea deal is expected to be entered on the 9th. Rogers has not pled in an agreement yet. And today is the 11th. So I'm wondering if that actually went through and what the result of this was, because this article was on July 29th. So it'd be interesting to see how this plays out. Obviously, it's moving along rather quickly. So we'll know what the outcome's going to be. But certainly, you know, Joshua Leavitt, what, you probably get probation, like house arrest or something? Like, what do you get for fraud? Obviously, you're going to garnish whatever funds you make going forward back to the fucking government since you stole all that money, unless that money has in fact been recoverable. And maybe there's some assets where it is, like the fucking Rolls Royce, but there may be other things that it's not recoverable. So you're going to owe money to the government as part of that.
You think they good cop, bad copped them?
Joshua. Maybe. Could you imagine it being like in a legit like murder interrogation room?
I bet you it was.
You fucking tell me what happened.
Listen, Joshua.
That would be actually kind of funny if
that's
how it played
out. Listen, Joshua, we talked to Pierre and he's got some interesting things to say about you himself. And
he's like, oh yeah, of course he does. Well, he's just blaming it all on me.
We're just trying to make sense of, and we know everything that's happened. We've got, you know, Pierre's given us all the information. He's cracked like an egg. But here's the thing, Joshua. The things that we're a little hazy on is just exactly who is responsible for such an undertaking of this type of business operation. Because at some point, someone is the one that proposed that you commit fraud against the federal government, you know, against the government and people and their tax money. Yeah, we're throwing tax money in there. You're fucking with everybody.
Like, Joshua, we suspect you're a good person.
But Joshua, here's the thing. If you can convince us that Pierre was the one that started it, you could provide evidence. Well, we might shave off a few decades.
A few decades. Yeah, I assume it went exactly like that.
You've got fucking Joshua with a shaking cigarette in his hand, like,
and the detective interrogator, like, in his face with the tie, like, dripping in his face. Like, it's just hitting off his nose. Right up in his... Oh, yeah. Oh, I love those interrogation scenes. The best. You know you want to tell me.
You know what the American thing... You know what's the American thing you could do here, Joshua? Is turn over that Frenchie. You know what American thing you could do right now? Turn over the French.
We don't want to know.
The fucking coward!
We want a wee wee. Patina Sumatra arriving in stores, which is awesome. So the Patina Connecticut originally, then the Patina Habano, both released a couple years back. And then the Maduro released, actually those released many years back, then the Maduro released, and now the Sumatra is released. That's awesome. Mo, a good friend of ours, it's good to see the Sumatra out in the marketplace arriving in stores. I suspect, like the others, this is going to be a killer cigar. I'm really excited for this one to hit shelves.
I love a little Mo Patina.
Yeah, dude, patinas are fantastic. And look at this, Crown Heads ships the new sizes of the La Patisserie, which I really like the band on the new one. Mm. I am very much in favor of that look. I think it's awesome. I do have some of the pre-release samples that I've smoked. I did a quick review on the old Instagrams of the Robusto, which I thought was more favorable than the traditional, what was it? It was like a
Toro-ish thing.
And that was like a Corona. It's that weird size that John always comes out with. Yeah.
That like 6 7/8.
Which typically ends up being such a really good Vitola for cigar, but the Robusto fucking hit so good, dude. It was awesome. I liked more of the filler type. I think that's what I gravitated towards, is I just liked a little bit more of the meat inside, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And I do, to me, I believe that the Robusto so far is definitely my favorite Smoked great. Construction was amazing. I mean, dude, the thing was so toothy. I have a picture of it. Like, you see the cover picture on Instagram? Dude, the thing is fucking toothy as shit. Mm. I could use that shit as sandpaper. It was awesome.
Flatten out some drywall mud.
For sure. But the flavor of it, I thought, was just elevated beyond the original. So it's good to see that this is going to be a regular release. I think this is a super underrated cigar. I don't think it, even as PCA released last year, didn't really get the attention that it deserved. And it was a little bit of a polarizing cigar. You know, Half Wheel gave it the fucking the old 76er, which I thought, you know, everybody made fun of that. And it was hilarious. And John, you know, put out merch as far as the 76er, which I think was fucking great. I just, you know, especially after smoking the Robusto, my encouragement for anybody who had the original Vitola and may have had some construction issues, I saw that kind of, you know, as a little bit of hooting and hollering from people in the industry. I think, and of course, Half Wheel's review of it depicted some of that as well. I would definitely encourage people, one, to give that Vitola another try, but really fucking try that Robusto, man. It was awesome. I mean, it was just categorically different. Some of the similar flavor profiles, but just more of what I thought was better about the cigar in that Vitola. So I thought it was strikingly delicious. That's all I really want to cover in news. The cigar industry's kind of got boring over the past few months, and maybe it's just because I've been doing other shit and I've just not been paying attention as much. But I was like, God, there's fucking nothing to talk about. We're on a real hot streak there for a little bit, and then it just kind of quieted down. Because here's the thing: no one gives a shit about Privado Talk anymore. I keep loosely connected to that, and just the absurd things I hear. Of course, you have this Pierre thing. There's been some meaningful releases, but nothing too fucking crazy. LFD's doing, I think, their NFT shit tonight. So bad time for NFTs.
Yeah.
I think they may have missed the fucking window of opportunity on that one.
LFD, I still have the best solution for that, and it wasn't way you're doing it.
Yeah. I mean, it's okay now. I mean, have you heard anyone talk about NFTs in the recent, like, 4 months?
No, because they're, wow. You flood the market with a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah, then it becomes like this weird commodity, and the price is driven down on all of them.
It'll rebalance, but right now is not a good time.
Yeah, now is, I feel like, the least opportune time. Yeah, it's just like crypto, you know. Like, yeah. And the two are obviously, because of blockchain, they're very interrelated. Yeah. But it's like, even like, no one's talking about crypto.
No,
people are just like, yeah, it fucking sucks right now, and when it balances out, when there's signs that the market's gonna rebound a bit, then it's the investments will be made. Actually, I'd argue now is a really good time to invest in it.
If you believe in it,
if you believe in it, because the price is so low. I think it's hard not to, especially in Bitcoin and Ethereum.
Isn't it under like 0.003 or something?
I don't know. It's
for like a dollar.
I don't know. It's real.
It's real low.
It's real low. It's as low as it's ever been. Yeah, I hate looking into my crypto because it's.
I checked it yesterday.
It's a bit sad.
I checked it yesterday. I'm like.
Yeah, I haven't looked at it in probably 2 months. I don't care. At this point, I don't care. But yeah, anyway, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We got two reviews for you today. They're both Drew Estate reviews, which is actually going to be kind of cool, because I want to see how one of the old bucks or how the young buck and the old bull stack up next to each other. So it's kind of a Drew Estate face-off. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with you guys in just a minute. Hang tight.
You know, I'm getting to the point now, my age, my health, the fact that, you know, I've gotten all this social anxiety that I don't even want to leave my house anymore. The thing is, like, I still want to smoke cigars at home, but I sure as shit do not want to leave my home.
Yeah, well, you're perpetually sick, so there's a societal responsibility that you have as well.
I just wish there was, like, some way for me to, like, buy cigars without having to think about it.
I think I have the medicine for you. My cigar pack. Curated packs come straight to your door every single month.
Is it?
5-pack of cigars, specially handpicked for you. And you can also subscribe to the Factory Direct program and get cigars that you can't get anywhere else.
Yeah, as long as it covers the Omicron variant, I'm good.
I heard they show up in hazmat suits.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that safety and protection are at top of mind.
That's
so
good.
You can visit My Cigar Pack, www.mycigarpack.com, to support all their options. Again, that's www.mycigarpack.com. All right, we're back. We are back. I'm excited to do these two reviews, but I've really been on a review kick lately. You know what's weird? I don't know why this happens, but there's times where I just want to go on a string of talking to people and doing interviews, and there's times where I want to just be like, piss off, I don't want to talk to anyone. I'm in the piss off, I don't want to talk to anyone mood.
That's like my life.
Dude, there's legitimately like four people who have reached out in the recent month that are like, when can I come on the show? And I'm just like, it's not ready.
I had one reach out to me yesterday for the show.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, there's some manufacturers who are like, how do we go on the podcast? And the answer is, I'm not going to call you by name.
Oh, I have two.
You don't.
No, I actually have two.
Oh, do you really? Well, yeah, name them off air. Don't name them.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
Yeah. And there's, it sounds so bad, but it's like, especially because the content time has been adjusted almost bi-weekly now for, you know, a period of time. It's like, I gotta be, like, you have to be even more
judicious with good content.
Yeah. Like, what are you actually going to put out? And you want to make sure you create a balance. And it's like, we don't do two shows a week. So it's not viable to like, and I also think a lot of times too, which I find to be fascinating, is that a manufacturer will be like, hey, I would love to come on the podcast. Can we schedule something for next week? And I'm like, I just want to go, dude, we have the next 4 or 5 weeks scheduled out. Like, we literally, it's not like, yeah, sure, I didn't have anything going on next week. We don't prep or plan for anything whatsoever.
Wait, what?
I find that to always be kind of a fascinating thing as where a manufacturer's like, can you squeeze me in next week? It's like,
I know it may sound,
no,
by,
I can't.
By the things we talk about that we just wing it every week. And in some regard, yes, but Corey's pretty good about keeping.
I'm pretty diligent about having
like
things together.
A very specific content to be,
I know what I want. I know what I want to do in specific weeks. Like, it's already pre-thought out. We just don't sit down and go, what do you want to do today?
No.
It's not like that. So it's like when people reach out, I always find that to be fascinating. We're just like, can you squeeze me in next week? No. I can squeeze you in 7 weeks, maybe.
That's like, you're like
that, and that's if we don't balance out other shit that we want to do.
You're like that bouncer outside of like a bar that's like at capacity. Like, sorry, we're full.
Can you let me
There's
in?
Just a line. Yeah. And then you got Rocky Patel. There's this hot chick that strolls up like, hi, can I get in?
And you're just like,
you can get in fucking luck.
You're not on the list.
Not on
get to the back of the line. Yeah. And it's not in, it's not being rude and they don't know. But at the same time, I just go, no, we can't do that. All right, let's get into these reviews. I'm really excited about this.
We still love you as brands, though.
Do you want a Rochambeau to see who goes first?
What is that?
Rock, paper, scissors?
Rochambeau?
Have you never heard of that?
Never.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Sounds very French, like our friend Pierre.
Give it a googs. Rochambeau. It's a thing. Rochambeau.
Sham. How do you spell sham?
I don't know. I just know what it is.
Sham.
I don't know if it's all one word.
Because if I spell it French, Rochambeau.
You made it all one word. I'm pretty sure it means like rock, paper, scissors in Swedish or something.
See what I'm saying? It's not even American anymore. Rochambeau. Rochambeau?
Yeah, Rochambeau.
Another name for game, rock, paper. That's very French.
I like how you're like, I've never heard of that.
Look at this. Look who came up. French general. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, dude. Maybe that's how he...
That's what I'm saying.
That's how he coordinated his attacks. He's like, do we throw rocks?
Pierre, no.
Do we concede? And write out the piece of paper. He's like, do we cut them with our swords?
Fucking Pierre and Joshua are sitting and Pierre's got this idea. He's like, I'm thinking we should rip off this system. And Josh is like, I don't know. He's like, rock, paper, scissors. If I win, we do it.
Yeah.
Rochambeau.
We had Rochambeau.
Josh was like, what?
Almighty, almighty general Rochambeau. Yeah, that's fucking funny.
Josh was like, what the fuck is that? Well, in your native tongue, it's rock, paper, scissors.
Oh, that's so funny. But seriously, let's do it. Let's rock, paper, scissors. All right.
Okay.
See who goes first.
Rochambeau.
Yeah, wait a second.
Wait.
Don't,
you,
I get,
you cut me, so you win. So you get to choose.
Yeah, I'll choose who goes first. I'll go first. And that's only because mine's older and yours is newer. All right. So we're doing a duel out of two Drew Estate cigars today, one of which is a legacy cigar that came back to us in 2012. And then, of course, Chris doing one that's newer, which he will announce, which you probably already know if you've fucking listened to this at all. It's in the title of the fucking goddamn description.
I always forget that.
I know, I do too. I always make sure it's like a surprise when we're talking about it. And it's not really a surprise.
It's like,
at all.
You can't wait to hear this.
Yeah, it's so annoying.
Told 30 minutes ago.
All right, we've got about 20 minutes to power through this, so I will go quickly. Today, I reviewed the Drew Estate, the old Velvet Rat, which I've had the Velvet Rat before. I've had the Ratzilla. I've had, what's the other? Ratatouille. what's the other one? Ratzilla, Velvet Rat, and... Rat dog?
I forget what
there's
it is.
There's three of them. What's the other fucking rat?
I don't know what the other one is.
People are screaming at me now listening to this. They're going, it's this, motherfucker! How do you not know the other rat?
I'll find them.
It's Ratzilla, Velvet Rat, and...
I should just say rat.
Yeah. Rat. Ratty tat tat. Dirty rat. Jesus fucking Christ. Anyway, God, that was... sorry about that. Anyway, I did the Velvet Rat. Came back to us in 2012. I'll call this a legacy rat. Wrapper type, Connecticut Broadleaf. Brazilian Modafita in that old binder. Remember when Brazilian Modafita was only in binders? That was fucking good times. I know. And Honduran and Nicaraguan filler types combination. Smoked this in a Lonsdale, which is what it... The only Vitola it comes in, which is a 6.25x46. It is a $14 price point, which actually, considering most Liga, is not too bad. It's kind of on point. Mm-hmm. I feel like the price has probably not fluctuated a whole lot since its inception in 2012. But anyway, there you go. The Velvet Rat. There's the makeup of it. Now I'm going to get into the construction of the cigar. This thing is insanely good looking. It's rare that I take multiple photos of a cigar. It's got the little piggytail cap on it, which I love. Yeah. Dude, it is so beautiful, so dark, so oily, and crazy rich looking. I mean, it's like taking that devil's chocolate food cake out of the oven and you just get that oil expression. You get the sugars that kind of caramelize in it, and it just looks like it has that thick, rich just texture to it.
Slightly crispy edge.
Oh, dude, that was a cigar. It looked so goddamn good. By the way, The rumor is that this cigar doesn't age well. I had this cigar for probably 3 years in my humidor, and appearances alone fucking aged beautifully. Really? Dude, literally looked amazing. Like, exactly. You know how, like, McDonald's fakes photos? And I'm being legitimate when I say this. You know how McDonald's fakes photos? Like, I've been to McDonald's headquarters in Chicago, in Oak Brook.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah. So I've done a tour of it. It's crazy. So there's a facility within McDonald's headquarters where they do all the photography. So all that shit that you see on the commercials is fake. Oh, it ain't real.
It's not real food.
It's not real food.
No.
That's what this looks like. It looked fake. It looked so good. It looked fake. Burn, dude, so good. Yeah. Now, isn't that sticky mineral oil?
Yeah,
possibly, quite possibly. Sure. Isn't that sticky mineral? It could be. I don't really care. It smoked fucking beautifully. The only thing that I had trouble with, which was right out of the gate, which is really fucking weird, is I had like one pit issue right out of the gate, which I was like, seriously, right out of the gate? How did this not happen 3/4 of the way through? Why am I running to the... And I literally, at first, I was like, God damn it. Now it's all going to fall apart. It didn't. It was like a quick relight, and then boom, we're right back to it. Just super effortless. Exhale, just mouthfuls of smoke. Mm. Dude, the fucking smoke. I felt like I was just in like a crazy fog machine.
Maybe that's...
Every time I smoke, just like all over my face. That was in the movie The Fog, and it's just like caught me through the grocery store.
The velvet part of it?
Could be. Effortless draw. I could tell just based upon the pitting and at the onset, it wasn't like one giant pit. It was like multiple little just circular fucking gaps, which is inherently a bunching issue, right? Just not wrapped firmly and tight enough inside, but it was only really towards the cap, and it was right at it. None of it was at the foot of the cigar. All of it was up front. So a quick correction and everything turned out to be just beautiful. Flavors. Dude, this thing is a wild fucking ride with insane amounts of change-ups. So you've got the cocoa-ness, like that rich fucking cocoa. So as much as it kind of looked like that fucking devil's food cake look, it was like real rich in that bitter cocoa. Baking spice, it was toasty, it was creamy, it was sweet, and it just kind of changes up all the fucking time. It's like as soon as you get accustomed to one thing, it kind of changes up again. There's so many flow patterns to this cigar that really keep you on your toes, and it keeps you for anyone who's got that fucking crazy ADHD brain, it just keeps you fucking thinking about the cigar. It refocuses everything in the cigar at certain intervals. It's like, boom, boom. I love cigars that have a lot of change-ups. There's great cigars that aren't as dynamic, but have really good flavors all the way through. Mm-hmm. And I love those cigars sometimes equally as much, but I was really, I liked the profile of the cigar, but I like the change-up even more. I like that it kept me guessing. Dude, this cigar, the flavors of this cigar were unbelievably good. Like, unbelievably good. Huh. It is legitimately, in terms of flavor profile alone, probably one of the most dynamic cigars I've ever had, certainly in the Drew Estate lineup. And I don't remember the Velvet Rat being that good when I first had it. So maybe it does age good. Maybe it goes against the grain and most of the rumors and everybody else's experience. Maybe it ages better. Because I was holding on to that thing for quite some time.
There's all a bunch of conditions you can consider, such as the experience level of someone who is storing and aging cigars. You know, like, how well are you taking care of them?
This one was very well taken care of. You know, things that I have that eclipse that $13, $14 range, they're on a shelf by themselves.
Yeah.
They sit in certain conditions in certain environments away from, let's call it, the peasant cigars.
Yeah. Sweets.
Yeah, they're basically our noble cigar. They're nobility at that point, right? They're elevated in society. Economically, they're at a higher at a higher range.
Yeah.
They get the cool, comfortable. They're first class. You get that, essentially what they are.
That top floor condominium, full floor. Yeah. Like,
you get the whole penthouse.
Yeah, penthouse suite, man.
Yeah, this one is not at the tippy top, but it's definitely not peasant level.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Pros. Absolute fucking flavor bomb. Yeah. Thing was tasty and rich. I love it. Appearance-wise, definitely stands out on the shelf. What I have always liked about the Liga stuff is the consistency around the branding, but this one alone, branding aside, because they all have the white labels, is just the look of the cigar. Pigtail cap stands out. The Tola stands out. The richness of the wrapper definitely stands out. It's just incredibly dynamic. Literally could not love the outcome of the cigar anymore in terms of flavor. Annoying burn issues at the beginning. That's my only con. Just, it's like, you don't want to deal with that in the onset because it sets the table. It sets the expectation that the rest of it's going to suck. Because more often than not, if you have challenges and you have issues up front, they're going to continue on in the cigar. Somehow, the only issue I had was right at the beginning, which I thought was going to set the table for something lackluster, and it didn't. It was great all the way through. So where does that leave me in terms of score, Chris?
You mean take guesses?
Take a guess.
Ooh.
Hold on. Let me give you... So, construction, 10 out of 10.
Uh-huh.
Beautiful. Burn, 19 out of 20. Flavor, 27 out of 30.
Holy bejesus.
I thought it was appropriately priced because it is $14.
Yeah. Yeah.
Comes out to a really stout 93%.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a great cigar. It's
an incredible cigar.
Is that a hottie tiki?
No, highly recommended. Still, we're going to be at 95 for the old hot ticketer.
It would have been.
Minus the burn, it would have been in a 94 range. I'm going to go buy another one tomorrow and smoke it immediately because I kind of want to see, okay, I've aged this one for a while. Does it get better? Does it get worse? Does aging help? Does it not? I don't know. But there you go, 93. Very, very, very good cigar. Highly recommended. All right, Chris, let's get into yours. What did you smoke? I'm so excited about this. The anticipation's killing me.
Listen, folks, I got my hands on it. Finally, after a long-awaited period of waiting and waiting.
Did you say a long-awaiting period of waiting?
Yes. Just to reiterate how much waiting took place. Got my hands on the Drew Estate Liga Privada H99.
Beautiful.
All right. Let's get into it. Brand, Drew Estate. Manufacturer, Inside Drew's Estate. Rapper. Rapper. Connecticut Corojo.
Right? Oh.
That's strange. Connecticut Corojo. That's strange. You know it's strange.
I don't know. Is it strange?
It's pretty strange.
Okay. Continue.
Strange to me. Binder. San Andreas. I think it's an auto pan.
A San Andreas binder? Really?
Yeah. Filler.
Interesting.
Honduran.
Mm-hmm.
Nicaraguan. But with Pennsylvanian.
Oh, shit.
And I had mine in a 6x52 Toro coming at a price point of $16.
Buying one of those bad boys tomorrow.
All right. Let's
Yikes, that's going to set me back.
Undeniably, construction-wise, Liga, Drew Estate, inside of Drew's home, knows how to make good-looking cigars. This one, very much like a billy club.
Yeah, Drew has his best slaves doing his best work.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm just kidding. There's no slaves. Jesus, I can already sense someone's going to fucking get pissed about that.
Technically, semantically, doing something you don't want to do kind of makes you a slave.
Interesting. Continue.
So methodical and philosophical, Chris. Like a freaking brick, this one. But what's most interesting about it is that it has this reddish, chocolatey wrapper with that white. You know what it's like? Very much like your brownie. It's very much like a velvet cake.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
You know?
Interesting. I do like the period blood type on it.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of a cool look.
It looks like a mistake. Like someone like accidentally marked the number wrong on it and had to make an emphasis.
I like the red.
Yeah, it makes it pop.
I kind of think if the red was used, you have the H99, if there was a series of cigars that had a likeness to one another that you'll continue that on.
But let me make I need to roll back just to see just tell you how long we've all been waiting. This was in 2018 when they announced this.
Yeah, I know. And it wasn't these were lotteried out, right?
Yeah, to retailers.
Like if you were a Drew Estate diplomat store, you got a box maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've been waiting a while. Anyways, back to the construction. Moderately gritty, especially with the Connecticut Corojo, which is a very interesting naming convention.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see that when I pick one up.
Or a wrapper. Anyways. Black marbling throughout that reddish hue wrapper, a little bit of speckling, very mild veins, but man, it was built well. Yeah, and it's got that traditional Liga Privada white label-ish, that creamy white label with a little bit of the red, which really I think probably sold the whole red velvet cake look.
Yeah,
you know,
it's cool.
We know what we're going for.
Yeah,
you know, but I thought the construction was amazing. Anyways, to the burn, it's got to be the mineral spirits, you know. It's got to be.
Can we just all agree that that is a thing that occurs?
Yes, we have to admit.
It has to. We've got to just say, hey, that's what it is. And we're okay. By the way, we're okay with it being a thing.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it being a thing.
Just admit it.
Yes. I like it. If you were to say no, or do you want me to just give it a scotch of mineral oil to make that burn even more burny? Sure. Yeah. I'm good with it.
Yeah, for
sure. I'll turn the other cheek. Yeah. It's fine.
Just admit it.
Yeah.
Only then when you can admit it, can we move on with a happy, committed relationship.
It's like KFC is never going to tell us what's in those fucking however many flavors or what's in the recipe.
Right. They say 9 herbs and spices, but part of me wonders if there's 20.
Yeah. I'm like, just tell us.
Yeah. Anyways, what I like about the burn is it always burns, you know?
It does always burn.
It always fucking burns.
Which I love. Which I love. Just don't go out on me.
No running whatsoever. A really clean burn line. I mean, it's a Toro. It's a good ring gauge.
It's a substantial size cigar, though, really.
And
all things considered.
Good burn line. Effortless draw. A 1-2 punch. Dude, it does create a lot of smoke. Liga knows how to make smoke.
They really make a lot of smoke.
They make a lot of smoke.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, it's one of those cigars.
I'd keep a fire extinguisher next to you at all times.
Like, you almost don't want to do it in your vehicle because you might lose visibility.
Dude. Yeah, you will. You're hotboxing at that point, even with a window cracked.
Yeah.
Dude, it's a lot. When you're holding in your hands and a little bit of that smoke trail fucking hits you in the eyeball, and you're what the fuck?
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
For sure.
Yeah. They're heavy.
What I've mentioned in the past, if you rewind all the way back to episode, I don't know, probably in the 20s or 30s.
Jesus Christ.
We reviewed the Liga Privada number 9.
Yeah, it was like the highest score we ever gave to a cigar. It's also when I was on the balls. That's actually when that cigar was fucking outrageously good, though.
Yeah, it really hit the spot.
I feel like it's changed a lot.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of
Let's also admit that.
It's kind of like growing up. Listen to My Chemical Romance, but now you're in your 30s. Listen to My Chemical Romance. You're like,
I don't know. I really like. I like them still.
It's like, I don't know if I like them as much as I used.
Not
to.
As much, yeah.
But anyways, really nice burn, right? But one of the things I wanted to note back in the day when we reviewed the
Liga 9,
is that we would get this phenomenon that only happens with the most well balanced wrapper types and filler types, where you get a mountainous fiery peak.
Oh, yeah. The ones that really hurt.
Happened multiple times on this.
They really hurt when they fucking slam into your leg.
That's true. Because they don't really ash. They just like peek up peaks, and the edges just kind of fall off. And that's all it is.
It's just a fire spear.
It's a fucking volcano.
Yeah.
Anyways, it did a lot of that. Great burn. Okay. Moving on to flavor. Here's what's interesting. It has definingly distinct different flavors than the League of Nine.
I would hope so.
I would hope so too. That Pennsylvanian. I don't remember there being Pennsylvania in the League.
There's a lot of shit in the Liga too, though.
Leganine. Anyways, what I'll say is you get some little woodiness, a lot of sweetness. It's a very sweet, when I wouldn't say sweet, like, oh, it's like sugar. But you know the difference when you have a cigar that is not forwardly peppery.
Yeah.
It generally leans towards that dark, fruity, sweetness. You know what I'm talking about? Especially if the bitterness is too harsh as well.
Yeah.
Like that seemed to be predominant. It was like kind of woody and sweet from the get-go and just a little bit of bitterness. I'm like, damn, this is a pretty freaking mild cigar off the get-go. What I find most interesting about this cigar is actually somewhat medicinal. When you retrohale an H99, it's like cough syrup. I don't know how to describe it other than they're herbally.
It tastes like cough syrup, or it has the effects of cough syrup.
It has the effects and mild smell of a cough syrup when I retrohale.
That's interesting.
It's very herbally.
Oh, I like herbal.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think it's more herbally, but my association with it, you know, some people might say, I don't know, it smells like whatever freaking pronoun mixed with bullshit noun you want to throw in there for flavor.
Sure.
But to me, being very herbally, like immediately thought I was taking medicine, which I actually didn't mind. It was pretty nice. You know, like those heavy cough syrups.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
those I know real herbally about. Ones.
Yeah.
Anyways, that said, very woody, mild bitter, in this sweet tone with a very herbally retrohale. I really enjoyed the first part of it. Wink, wink, forecast.
Oh, boy. oh, boy.
Little to no spice.
Oh, boy. This is... which is weird, but not always a bad thing.
No, and it threw me off because I didn't know this blend breakdown until today, but I found it strange as well.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that had like no pepper component.
And I find it even more strange.
You have COVID?
Nope.
Okay.
That it also has like a Pennsylvanian in it. So I'm wondering how much Pennsylvania was actually in there. Because Pennsylvania comes off very sharp, bitter, and a little bit of kick.
Yeah, there's a bit of a sharpness to it. I would agree.
And maybe that's where a little bit of the bitterness was, but it was really mild. Like it's hard to, for me, it's hard to pinpoint the flavors with the actual breakdown of the cigar.
That's interesting.
You know what I'm saying? Like you kind of expect a certain profile from a certain breakdown.
Sure.
But as I read my notes now in front of you all as if a live broadcast, I'm a little miffed by my notes compared to the blend that I added 2 minutes before this recording. I liked it, okay? I liked it. Did I love it? Eh.
Yeah.
You know?
Fuck, I'm buying this thing tomorrow too. Fuck.
Maybe there's some nostalgia to the League of Nine that's in my head of this like mythical creature.
Yeah, like creates this the experience that you once had. You're kind of relating to this new thing. It's kind of like watching a movie and then just praying to God the sequel is going to be as good. And you're really trying to create that connection. It's like the failure of Anchorman.
Right. But I did like it. But you know my profile.
Yeah.
When I describe little woody, kind of sweet, mild bitterness, little to no spice most of the cigar for my taste.
Yeah.
It's not quite a liking. It's not quite my ideal cigar, and that's fine.
Yeah.
It was still a good flavor.
Yeah.
It was still a good flavor. But it definitely threw me for a loop dee loop because we've been waiting since, I don't know, 1999. Is that what they called the H99? Yeah. Is that when they started it?
Probably.
So we've been on a long waiting list. This is like waiting for the Avatar movie to come out when they first announced it. It's like I waited 20 years to make this movie.
12 years later, you're like, oh shit, it's
Jesus
here.
Christ, about fucking time. I don't even care about the movie anymore.
Yeah.
That's also like many video games. Anyways, so I like the flavor. I do. Okay. That said, do I think it's worth $15-16? Actually, I do. I really do. Because it's a long smoke. Okay. When you think about a when you think about a billy club of a cigar, it's a long smoke.
I'll see. I agree with you after tomorrow.
Okay. It's dense. Okay. So you're getting a lot of smoke value out of it, even if it's not quite your like perfect flavor. But it was a very consistent flavor. I can't really say you had the same amount of change-ups like that Velvet Rat did. But it was pretty consistent. The retrohale is where it's at. Okay. Problem is, it's really hard to retrohale when you're constantly retrohaling because it starts burning your nose.
Yeah.
You
gotta balance it.
Yeah. So I thought the price was appropriate. So let's get this breakdown. 10 out of 10 on construction, right?
Yep.
20 out of 20 on burn. Impeccable burn.
So exceptional in the first two categories. Yeah. So I have a feeling that the flavor is going to falter a bit.
Yeah, a little bit. 24 out of 30.
Okay.
A respectable score.
89?
A 90.
90.
Now, here's what I'll say, pros and cons. Okay. Retro is where it's at. For me, retro is where it's at. If you want that cough syrupy like a teenager who's snuck into your...
I'm intrigued by that, honestly.
Yeah, it's really nice. I thought it was like cough syrup. Otherwise, outside of the retro, the flavors are good for me. But if you're more like me, it's maybe not quite enough punch.
Right.
Which is fine. And the price is appropriate because it's a really long smoke. Now, the con, very much like Prince's song, 1999. It's a little long. It's a little too long of a song. So, you know... Like, how many times are we going to keep reading the same lyrics?
Yeah.
Very much like that. It's like, I was wanting like a crescendo.
Yeah, it's a little too much of the same thing.
It's too much of the same thing. I'm like, oh my God, just fucking end it. So it was a little long.
Yeah.
But if that's your flavor, like, it's very consistent. You'll enjoy the whole thing. And I did enjoy it. It's just not.
Yeah, it's not your thing.
It missed the mark just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just
the difference between like good and great.
Yeah.
Is probably like a couple components difference.
Yeah. But you know, a 90% is pretty solid.
That's pretty solid.
Yeah.
So just between the two of us, I scored the Velvet Rat a 93. You scored the new H99, or the old new H99.
Technically, yeah.
The veteran rookie H99, a solid 90. It's a win for Drew Estate in our eyes. That's pretty good.
Anybody who gets over 90 is like, woohoo.
Yeah, I'm not turned off by what you said. So I'm still going to try it because I'm going to go try to grab it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I'll see, since your review is going to be fresh in my head, making those comparisons and applying my own judgment to it. So it'd be interesting. All right. There you have it. Two reviews again in one, which I really like doing two in one.
Makes the bi-weekly schedule real easy.
It does. I mean, yeah, because we're pumping in more, you know, and you're not over talking about one thing, one topic or one cigar. You're kind of switching it up, and you can be creative as far as like the brands that you bring forward and some of the different components, and so you can structure it, I think, more creatively. Yeah. So I like doing this. I like doing the two in ones. They're fun.
Maybe an idea here.
Maybe we're onto something.
Take a 4-week break, do a four cigar review show.
Just fucking like fire, just like speed dating, yeah, but cigar reviews. Much. Construction, great. Burn, adequate. Just spout off the flavors and move on to the next one. What if we did 100 cigar reviews in one episode?
Fuck, we could do it.
But just go really fast.
We could do it.
Dude, how fucking crazy
is that? That's a challenge.
No one's ever done that.
You take 50, I take 50.
And we just we burn through them. Like, literally.
Hey,
I mean, figuratively.
Haven't catched all the seasons of Hot Ticket Podcast. We're going through all reviews in one episode.
100 reviews in one. Dude, that would be fucking nuts if we reviewed 100 cigars and packed them all into one episode.
Can you imagine the chapters on YouTube?
Hang time with us for 7.5 hours. That'd be crazy. All right. Anyway, let's wrap it up. We got things to do. We have people to see. That will conclude episode. I don't even know what the fuck this is. Is this 249?
We in the 60s? 260s?
No, I think it's 249. I was just going to guess. Let's conclude episode 249. We'll be back at you in 2 weeks with episode 250. See everyone.
Start believing.